chapter 8, starting at verse 36. The page number is 1101. That's 1101. So Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth?" The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. That's the reading of the word of the living God.
Half a Jew, as the Samaritans were. He's a foreigner, he's an Ethiopian, he's actually from a different continent altogether. And he is a eunuch. That is, he's been deliberately made not to be able to have kids, so that he's locked into serving the royal family of Ethiopia. Now, in Israel, if you were a foreigner, you were only allowed in the outer court of the temple, only in that outside area. Imagine that if our church building here was the temple, it would be like a bit like being allowed into the car park, but no further. You can come that far, but you can't come any further. You have to stay in the car park. That's how it was. And in Israel, if you were physically imperfect, like this eunuch, you were regarded as unclean. Again, you couldn't come into the temple. You could only stand in the car park. So here is this Ethiopian eunuch. He's been to Jerusalem to worship, but he's only got as far as the outer courts. Only been allowed to stand in the car park. They won't let him in. Now he's on his way back home. He's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit says to Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So here is the breaking through of barriers. Here is something revolutionary happening. That's why Philip needed these special angelic instructions. We don't have to wait for an angel to tell us. But Philip was doing something new, something revolutionary. So the guy is reading from Isaiah chapter 53, all about someone who is led like a lamb to the slaughter. The suffering servant, as he's sometimes called. And the eunuch says, who's he talking about? is Isaiah talking about himself or someone else? And verse 35, Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Told him that this lamb led to the slaughter is Jesus, who didn't protest, who willingly laid down his life, taking the penalty that you deserve. That's great news for someone like you, says Philip. Once you were excluded, but now you're included in. Here's the great news of sins forgiven. This Jesus invites people like you in from the car park. And not just to sit on the back row, but a seat right up at the front here, as it were. And then the Ethiopian says, here's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Baptism was the sign of belonging. So this Ethiopian is saying, how about you symbolically accept me as part of the church, as a subject and a servant of King Jesus? And so they go down into the water and Philip baptizes him. He welcomes him in, just as Jesus has welcomed him in. And then the Spirit of the Lord takes Philip away. His job is done. The gospel has broken through another barrier. Here is this man who's not a Jew, not a Samaritan. He's an African, an Ethiopian. And he's physically imperfect, but the gospel has reached to him. He belongs. We're told he goes on his way rejoicing. He's included. He's been welcomed in. And here's the thing. If Philip and the rest of them had really understood the prophet Isaiah, if they'd understood what Isaiah was saying, then these new, surprising, barrier-breaking friendships would not have been a surprise. They would have been ready for them. Ready for this sort of friendship with an Ethiopian. Hundreds of years before, Isaiah had mapped out the difference that the Messiah would make. This suffering servant would die, not just for the sins of Israel, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, said Isaiah. And he had said, the next one there, all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God, right to the ends of the earth. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do know, do not know you, will hasten to you, said Isaiah. When the Messiah comes, he changes everything. And it won't just be for Israel. It'll be for everyone. That last quote, let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. Even if you're a eunuch, even if you're a foreigner, no one needs to be excluded. Now it's for anyone who wants to belong to King Jesus, who binds themselves to the Lord. The kingdom of Jesus is no longer just one nation. It's across the whole world. Now, that's something that took a while to sink in. It's a debate that runs all the way through the New Testament. Do you have to become a Jew first in order to really belong? Well, no. No matter where you come from, no matter your social background or your racial background or anything else, now all sorts of people included in Jesus. Which means that the church should always be a place of unlikely friendships, knowing and loving people who are not like you because of a common bond in Jesus. I mentioned earlier that we visited Croatia on holiday, and those divisions between those different peoples. Well, here's a short little video about... You right, George? Shall we all listen in? Give it to Alison, she'll know. Or give it to Archie, he'll know. There we are. Okay, here's a short video about a Bible college, a Bible school in Belgrade, in the capital of Serbia. I'm not sure we're going to have any sound on this video, but just look at the faces as we watch it, if nothing else. I'm not sure we're going to have any video. Look. Oh dear, it was working a moment ago. Well, let me tell you about it. Sorry about that. There's lots of people, there's about 20 people, and they are from Serbia and Croatia and Bosnia and Montenegro, and they're all sat in the same room. They're all studying together. They're living together. They are loving one another. And that is just extraordinary. It's remarkable that there in that Bible college, Jesus has brought them together. They're united in Jesus in a way that nothing else would do. So how are we doing here at St. John's? Now, in Wilmslow, here, most of us are from the same sort of social, racial background. On the whole. But are we a place of unlikely friendships? How good are we at accepting those who are different to us? How are we doing at welcoming and including anyone who's not quite from your background, your race, your age, your type? If people are okay with Jesus, then they should be surely okay with us. St. John's is a group of unlikely friendships, just like the very church, very first church, and just like every church should be. Well, let's have a prayer together. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that the kingdom of Jesus is for all sorts of people everywhere. Thank you that the message of Jesus breaks down the barriers and the divisions that exist even in our world today. We pray, Father, that our church, there might be lots of unlikely friendships, loving and accepting one another. Just as you have accepted us, in Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 8 and this Ethiopian eunuch. Philip runs up beside him and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he replies, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" So this Ethiopian, he is a seeker, isn't he? He has travelled all the way to Jerusalem to worship God, knowing that when he gets there, he's not going to be allowed in. He's only going to be allowed in the outer court. He's a searcher, a seeker for the truth. And he's a reader as well, isn't he? He's reading the Bible for himself. And he's humble. He freely admits that he doesn't understand what he's reading. And he's fortunate because he's got a copy of the scriptures for himself, or at least a part of it. And this is long before there were discount paperback Bibles from 10 of those at knockdown prices. He's a seeker. He's a reader. He is humble. And yet, and he's fortunate, and yet he's helpless, isn't he? How can I understand it unless someone explains it to me, he says. He hasn't got a clue what it means, whether Isaiah is talking about himself or someone else. He needs someone to explain it to him. Well, won't the Holy Spirit explain it to him? After all, Jesus had promised, John chapter 16, verse 13, that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And in the Greek, that word guide is exactly the same as the word explain here. Why shouldn't the Spirit explain to him what he's reading? But no, the Spirit doesn't do that. What the Spirit does is to send Philip, to send a person to explain. That's the normal way in which the Spirit works. The normal way in which he illumines us. He gives us understanding by providing us with a teacher. It is still the same today. So, the Bible by itself is not enough. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. God has given us everything we need to trust and follow Jesus here in the Scriptures. But if we're going to understand it, the Bible itself is not enough. It certainly wasn't for this Ethiopian. After all, it isn't an easy book to understand. The fact is that God has given us two gifts. He's given us the Scriptures, and he's given us teachers who will explain and apply and expound those Scriptures. That's the job that a vicar is supposed to be doing. To be a Bible teacher, for the Bible to be explained. It is to be an important part of every church gathering. That every time the church meets together, God's Word is explained. So if you go to a church this summer where there isn't a sermon that explains the Bible, well, that's tragic, isn't it? You should ask for your money back. So, the same, it means that if we're to, that we're in the same position as this Ethiopian. How can I understand it unless someone explains it to me? Yes, in exceptional circumstances, the Spirit does teach the Bible directly. So, for example, I remember reading about a prisoner in the maze in Northern Ireland, who was shut in his cell with a copy of John's Gospel. And as he read, the Spirit of God opened his eyes to understand it. And he became a Christian there by himself in his cell. But that's not the way God normally works. He normally sends a teacher. He normally sends someone to explain what the Bible says. He sends a missionary to share the gospel, and so on. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he's giving a list of qualities to look for when appointing a church leader in his letter to Timothy, there is only one gift, only one ability that is mentioned. Lots of things about character. But the only gift that is required is that he is able to teach. According to the Bible, according to the New Testament, if a minister is not teaching the Bible, then he's not doing
his job.
Here is the Ethiopian, and he's searching. He's reading the Bible. He's humble. He's teachable. But he's helpless until God sends a teacher. Maybe you're here, someone this morning, who, and you wish that you, well, you wish that you had a firmer faith. You wish that you understood things more clearly. Well, the answer is obvious, isn't it? Make sure that you hear the Bible being explained. I think of someone who said to me, I wish I had your faith, but I just don't seem to get it. I just don't seem to be able to find it. But he never did come to church. He never did put himself in the place where the Bible was being explained. So sadly, as far as I know, he never did find that faith that he was looking for. Now, let's be clear. What this Ethiopian needed was not some Jewish scholar, not some scholar who is steeped in Jewish history and so on, who was an expert in the Old Testament. No, what he needed was a Christian, someone whose eyes had been opened to the truth of Jesus, someone who knows that the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus, that Isaiah 53 is all about Jesus. That's what's needed to be able to give the correct interpretation. I reckon any of us, if we know Jesus, we could have done what Philip does here in this story. Imagine you are on the train and there is someone there with their Bible open and they are reading Isaiah 53 and they invite you to come and sit next to them and say, I don't understand what I'm reading. I reckon many of us could have a go at doing that. We might not be able to understand all the details, but we know it's about Jesus, don't we? We know that the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, it's a good thing to give someone a copy of one of the Gospels, for example. But generally, they won't be able to understand it unless someone explains it to them. So it's a much better thing to say, well, have you ever read one of the biographies of Jesus? How about we sit down and read it together? And I reckon many of us could have a go at doing that. Many of us know more than we realize. If God has opened our eyes to the truth of Jesus, then we understand the Bible far better than any unbeliever. And there are some great resources to help us do that sort of thing, like the Uncover materials. I put some copies at the back this morning. Resources to help us be explaining the Bible to another person. To sit down and read a gospel with a friend is a great thing to do. And a great preparation to then an invitation to Christianity Explored in the autumn. So, are we ready to be like Philip here? Is there someone whose chariot you're running alongside who needs you to tell them the good news of Jesus? To be that link in the chain. You see, because that's what Philip was, wasn't it? After this man has been baptized, the Spirit of the Lord takes Philip away. But now, the Ethiopian has got the key. He's got the key to understanding and unlocking the scriptures. And God has more work for Philip to do elsewhere as the gospel goes on, breaking down those barriers, as that invitation to the kingdom of Jesus goes out to all sorts of people. Well, we're going to finish with a final song. We encourage one another to be doing just that.